Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Now from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH. This is Sports Daily with Jacob Albracht and Tommy Kester.
All right, welcome in everybody to a Tuesday edition of Sports Daily. Jacob Albracht, Tommy Kester here. Glad to be with you on this Tuesday of my wife's birthday. Happy birthday to my wife. It's a big one today, and I hope everybody that knows her out there will let her know about it. I call her my birthday princess. She really likes them, so if you know her, send her a nice message.
29 years old today?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. 30-10, but it's a big one. It's a big one. 869-1240 is the IHOP hotline. It's open for you today. Jad Chambers is manning that thing for you. And by the way, IHOP excited to bring back its all-you-can-eat pancakes deal through September 15th. We got a fun show for you today as we continue to watch the trade deadline in Major League Baseball down to the second. A couple of misses again for Kansas City yesterday after they add a nice piece as well. So we'll get you all caught up there. An exciting game last night as Bobby Witt Jr. is taking over Major League Baseball. All things Royals coming today. We'll catch you up on any Olympics that might have interested us last night. And, you know, we got that. We got Chiefs camp. Chiefs camp. We'll have some Mitch Holthus audio for you a little later in the show as well. It's a great show for you today. We'll give away some HTO, iced tea, and free rain coffee to one lucky winner a little later in the program as well. It's all out there for us. You can leave us your comments as well. You can call in, of course, if you're listening to us on KFH. You can also leave us your comments on our stream on X, on YouTube, or on Facebook. We'll get those out on the air. And, of course, hello and thank you to those watching us on 12 News Connected. That's how you can watch the show. You can go back and listen to it on the Odyssey app. All kinds of great ways to take it in. We appreciate you being here with us. Tommy, you know, the Royals last night, it was a strange day for Kansas City yesterday as we see two players traded that we had hoped Kansas City might be in on, both Tommy Pham and Lane Thomas, now both off the market. Thomas to the rival Guardians, which makes it sting a little extra, and Pham to the Cardinals, which perhaps makes it sting a little extra. Tommy Pham is indeed traded for the third straight trade deadline, and he goes to the Cardinals. So the Royals now back to sort of square one as we think about a leadoff hitter. They do add to the pitching staff yesterday, if you missed it, Michael Lorenzen, which is great timing, and we'll get into some of the injury stuff as well today. But that was a needed win against a bad team, and it almost... like it was almost going to be a pretty dreadful Royals type show today with those two misses at the deadline and a loss to the White Sox. But in steps Bobby Witt Jr. just saved the day, and he is just sort of taking things over here.
I mean, if the season ended today, I mean, that guy should be the American League MVP, in my opinion. I know that Aaron Judge is going to get a lot of credit, you know, and they're going to probably...
It's close.
Yeah, because he's in the large market, and everybody's going to give him all the accolades because of all the home runs he hits. Bobby Witt Jr. Is, I think, the best all-around player, probably not only in the American League, but probably in Major League Baseball right now. He's definitely the hottest hitter in Major League Baseball after the All-Star break. There's no doubt about that. I read a ridiculous stat, and there are a bunch of them out there, about Bobby Witt Jr. since the All-Star break, that he's got more extra base hits than he does swings and misses after the All-Star break so far, which is just incredible. That's just a wild statistic to think about. But yeah, it was his heroics. It was the grand slam in the eighth inning that put the Royals on top and gave them the lead and ultimately the win. So it wouldn't be anybody else. I mean, I know that Salvador Perez is clutch and has been the face of the franchise for a long time, deservedly so. Bobby Witt Jr. is the catalyst. He's the guy that now is getting the Royals to victory, and he did it last night against Chicago.
It was, as to Salvador Perez, he's really sort of stepped back this year and let everybody embrace Bobby Witt Jr., which is great. And we've talked about this. It's been a while, so we can bring it back up. Like, there's a chance, there is a chance you're seeing two of the three greatest Royals of all time on this team this year. I think that's a pretty good probability, in fact. You know, Bobby Witt Jr. may end up being the best of all of them. Salvador Perez, unlikely, I would say, to surpass George Brett, but he's right there. And so we're getting both of the, that adds to the urgency for me that we've talked about so many times on why they should be aggressive this year, is because, I mean, how many organizations can say that, right? How many organizations throughout their history could say two of their three best players ever are playing at one time? And it doesn't always lead to success. I mean, I think the Angels probably had a case at that when they had Shohei and Trout playing, but it doesn't happen very often. And so that just adds to how special this could be if they could figure out a way to get into the postseason, and if they can figure out a way to, you know, to parlay that into a little bit of sustained success here. But the Royals got him locked up, and he's rewarding them. And I think the reason Bobby Witt Jr. is so much fun is that he is one of these young players who is having so much fun, and it bleeds out everywhere, right? Like, it's, yeah, he's got the humility and he's got all of those things, but when players genuinely, and you can see that they're enjoying it so much, it does make a difference. Why Adrian Beltre became my favorite player is because he just enjoyed it so much. Why Salvador Perez is on a very short list of my favorite players ever is because he has so much fun doing it. Bobby Witt Jr. does too, and that adds to it. It's why we love Patrick Mahomes, right? It's why we love Travis Kelce. It was watching those guys because they enjoy themselves, and Bobby Witt Jr. is enjoying it, all of it. You know, the home run derby sort of, I think, opened everybody up, but this stretch after the All-Star break is absolutely absurd, and it's been fun to watch. And quite frankly, they've had to have it because outside of that, it has been a little rockier. You know, last night they get Alec Marsh out there. Marsh was not bad, not great. I think you think he feels any pressure with Lorenz in there? I think he probably should. I don't know that he will now that we learned John Schreiber goes on the injury list yesterday, and we still don't know about Hunter Harvey. MacArthur got out there, and we'll get to that. But they need Lorenz in probably in the bullpen, so maybe it's safe for Marsh. But Marsh wasn't elite or anything like that. 4 2/3, 2 runs. I think it actually lowered his ERA. But he probably feels pressure a little bit, and he should. That's a good thing. It's not a bad thing.
Yeah, and I think the best thing that the Royals can do with Michael Lorenzen is, I mean, he's versatile enough and he's been around long enough that he can fill a variety of different roles. And I don't know if this is the conversation that Matt Quatrero has had with Michael Lorenzen, but basically, look, we might need you to go out and start a game as a spot starter. We might need you to be a long reliever. We might need you to come in and pitch a seventh inning. We just don't know. So be ready for basically any situation that we're going to call you in. And that's part of the reason I think why Lorenzen is valuable. You know, it was right before he was traded. The Rangers did this for him, where he started a game. I think he didn't get out of, what, the first inning?
He didn't. Yeah.
And then the very next game he came in and he pitched 4 innings.
Yeah, two days later. He doesn't care. He's a great Swiss Army knife for this. It's such a good trade. And that's good, too. And that's probably where we need to start with the conversation. We get into last night's game in Bobby Witt Jr. as we make our way through. But we've got a trade deadline here. And yesterday, you get Lorenzen, another really sound move, I think, for this team. But then we also see two guys go elsewhere that stings, I think, particularly bad. And the trade deadline's at 5 o'clock today. But to watch Pham especially go somewhere else. Lane Thomas was sort of a pipe dream player. The Guardians end up getting him. And I don't know. I haven't looked at the return, but I'm going to guess they probably gave up something that the Royals couldn't match. Tommy Pham, he was kind of the guy and they couldn't get it done. So now where do you go? I think there are still players out there that certainly are upgrades. It's less about that, though, to me, than can they find a leadoff hitter? That's the part that gets a little bit tricky. Yeah, you can find somebody that upgrades the outfield. Although, you know, Renfro continues to be good. Melendez had a big hit last night. So maybe it's just going to be through attrition they aren't able to bring anybody in. It's the leadoff hitter thing that bugs me the most. It's not even, you know, replacement value at this point, because anybody over the course of the season would be, an increase in replacement value. It's can you find somebody that can lead off for you? And that's been the biggest challenge. It's not even about these other guys heating up. I mean, you're not going to lead off Melendez. You know, maybe there's a world where Renfro could do it, but they kind of need him in the middle of the lineup right now. Freddie Fermin continues to get hits, but they go another game, Tommy, with no hits from the leadoff spot. And I don't know how many. I would love to, and I don't have the time for it. I would love to go back in the last just 20 games and see how many times the leadoff hitter was over at the plate. Because I'll bet it's more than half the time. Easily.
I mean, I think you can look at the entire season. I don't have the stats on this, but the entire season, what's the overall OPS from the leadoff position? Doesn't matter who's been in that role. I would love to know what the slash lines are for the variety of different players that the Royals have trotted out to lead off, because it seems like it's almost an automatic out almost every single game from whoever's been at that place.
And then in steps Bobby Witt Jr. on fire. That's what's so frustrating, right? Like, they cannot set the table for him. That's where they have to attack this deadline. They just have to. You got to be better than what they've had there, which is almost non-existent. And I'll give Quatrero this. He's trying a lot of different things now. He's trying Massey at the top, which I would say Massey or Fermin would be my preference at this point at the top. But even then, it's not ideal. And so you just like, what is out there for them to do that? Some of these A's players. Now you're getting down to the A's, and I don't even know if any of those guys profile as leadoff guys. That's what I mean. There are bats out there that probably upgrade offensively what you've got. But both of the players you would have to replace are likely Melendez and Renfro, and they're both heating up. Okay, so like, okay, how much are you really upgrading those guys by going to get one of these A's players? I'm not sure. It's really about that leadoff hitter. Like, that's the spot. And I'll tell you this too. I almost think the bullpen needs to be a bigger priority right now. So as we get to the trade deadline today, as much as it's frustrating at the top of the lineup, I'm pretty concerned about the bullpen. And there's a lot that's happened in the last, 48, 72 hours to add to that. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back to that, because even yesterday, Tommy, it was like, oh, maybe, I don't know if that's overtaken leadoff. But now with the series of events on Monday, I might have changed my mind on that. I might like these last few hours before the trade deadline to focus on the bullpen, and you just have to deal with that leadoff spot. We'll take a quick break. 869-1240 is that IHOP hotline. We'll see if Tommy agrees. You can leave us your video comments, lots of different ways to take in the program today. We're happy you're here with us. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back, more Sports Daily right after this. Welcome back in, everybody. Sports Daily here on KFH. Jacob Albrock, Tommy Caster alongside you. Talking a little Royals here. We'll get some Chiefs audio from Mitch Holthus, voice of the Chiefs, coming up a little bit later in this hour. Lots of stuff still to come for you on this Tuesday. Just getting going. Royals had an interesting day yesterday. You get the Lorenzen news early. In fact, while we were on the air, that's great news. We love that addition. Then you see two players we thought might profile as leadoff hitters for this team get traded to other teams. One of them to, well, really, we could say both to rival teams. So that stings a little bit. We get the news that Schreiber's headed to the IL. We still don't know on Hunter Harvey. Then the game happens yesterday, Tommy. And while there are fireworks in the game that we will celebrate in due time on the program today with Bobby Witt Jr., the bullpen was not good yesterday. Zerpa and Stratton both gave up runs, which you don't like to see, especially Zerpa, who was not good at all. He was kind of the guy I thought maybe they'd lean into. Stratton is fine, but he's certainly not a door closer. Will Smith was good. I mean, who knows? And MacArthur came in, and while, yes, he had a clean inning, it was because of two great plays by Bobby Witt Jr. And maybe that gets him back on track, but, man, that could have easily been a couple hits. And so all of those things combined, I think, has shifted me today in the final hours before the trade deadline to say, you know what? If there are bullpen reinforcements out there and the Royals could only pick one, I might lean back into bullpen reinforcements. There are just too many unknowns right now with that group, especially. I think they may need to attack bullpen again and just deal with leadoff hitter as they go.
You know, unless they get a top-of-the-line reliever like a Tanner Scott, and I think that's unlikely, I'm not sure I agree with you. I think that they still need to focus on the top of the lineup. I think that's got to be the direction that they go. Now, I know that supply and demand comes into play, and the supply of leadoff center fielders has probably dwindled between a couple of days ago to now. So that may play a role in the direction the Royals go, that may pivot them to looking more at bullpen reinforcements. Jim Bowden yesterday had a report that the Royals were one of four teams that were linked to Tanner Scott. But those four other teams, you know, are teams that are probably going to outbid them. We have not heard anything else about that particular situation. You know, you're talking the Dodgers, the Red Sox, and I think the Phillies were the other team that were, or Yankees, I think, were the other team that were
involved.
Those
are teams, I will say, those are teams that have made other moves.
Yes.
You know, so their
but they've also got unlimited budgets, it seems like, to be able to make moves like that for high-profile players.
Well, they have farm systems. I think the Royals will pay. I think John Sherman's ready to pay. I think we're seeing that enough. Where it becomes, it almost like if it's just down to prospect loads. Now, some of those systems are light years ahead of the Royals, right? But maybe the other moves that they've been making allow the Royals to pool all their resources that they were hoping to use in other trades and just say, let's go get this one done. And I think that's where, like, I don't know what the likelihood is the Royals can make two moves today. It's hard because at some point, like, there are veterans that you just kind of get for a cup of coffee, right? When it's just cash involved and they haven't gone anywhere and teams are like, well, what the hell? We don't want to pay these guys the rest of the year. And so that may still present itself. But as far as like top line, big name acquisitions, I really do. Like, let's say it's Scott. Let's just take him as an example. And you could take everything you were maybe trying to use for Pham and Lane Thomas and all these other players. And you said, you know what? Let's just go get this guy. If you get a guy that you could literally slot in at the end of a game, I think that that helps MacArthur a great deal because it takes the pressure off him. It allows you to be more flexible with Lorenzen, and it allows, you know, guys like Zerpa to sort of stay in their wheelhouse where they've been. It allows you to get Harvey back, and who knows where he ultimately settles in. You know, Schreiber's got to come back. They've got these players there, but man, I don't see any of them in a playoff game.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, fantasy football owners, anybody can tell you what a good fantasy quarterback looks like, but it's the receivers that make or break your team. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that matters most, wide receivers. From the route trees to who plays better in man or zone, we provide the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, Let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
In the ninth inning or in the eighth inning, coming in to put out a fire or close down a game, I wouldn't be comfortable with anybody that's on the roster right now doing that. So if that guy is out there and they're able to get them, I think it has shifted. Because for a long time, for me, it was, no, go ahead, get the leadoff hitter because you can make it work in the bullpen. I just don't know that the leadoff hitter's there anymore. I think they're all gone of guys that'll be available. And you never know. We could be surprised, but I think they're gone.
I mean, the one name from an outfield position that I know has been linked to the Royals that is still out there and available is Taylor Ward from the Angels. He's not been particularly good. His OPS is slightly over 3. And so that's not anything amazing. I mean, you know, he's batting 221 right now.
He got off to a really hot start, and then he hasn't been good.
He's cooled off a lot. His OBP is 309. His OPS is 710. Now, I would imagine that's an improvement over what the Royals have put out there at the leadoff position so far this season, but it's not a significant upgrade. That's the main guy, unless I'm missing somebody, that really the Royals have been linked to.
We've got to be careful with him, because in the situation of him, and I only know this because of fantasy baseball, not because I watch a lot of Taylor Ward, he was white hot. He does this. He's done this now for 2 or 3 years. He comes screaming out of the gates to start a year, and then he falls off a cliff. Whereas the options he could potentially replace have done the opposite for the Royals. They came out stumbling and have settled in nicely. So is he an upgrade? I don't know if he is an upgrade at this point.
Well, and the other thing about the bullpen, my other point on that is that I do think that this has been a bullpen all season long. I know MacArthur kind of slotted in to the quote-unquote closer role, but all season long, for the most part, it's been a bullpen by committee. It's been based on the situation. It's been based on who Cutrero thinks is the best match and the best fit for situational baseball. In a lot of cases, it's worked out decently well for the Royals, despite their shortcomings in the bullpen. I think I can count on one hand the number of times that I've been critical of the way that Matt Cutrero has managed the bullpen. Sure, you would like more talented players in that bullpen. You would like more reliable pitchers in that bullpen. There's no doubt about that. But I've got confidence in Cutrero that even if the Royals don't make any other additions to the bullpen, they don't make any changes to the way that bullpen is set up, that Cutrero can still manage that bullpen and get the most out of them. He's probably pushed the right buttons and had that bullpen overachieve even thus far this season. And I think that he could probably continue to do that. Is that the ideal outcome for the trade deadline? No, probably not. I think you'd still like to have bullpen reinforcements. But I do think that even if the trade deadline comes and goes, the bullpen, the way that it's assembled right now, while not ideal, I think Cutrero can still press the right buttons and get more out of them than probably what they could have gotten with any other manager.
Yeah, I think I probably agree with that. Maybe they should give Brett Phillips a call because he's apparently throwing gas at 97 miles per hour right now at the NBC World Series, trying to reinvent himself as a relief pitcher. This is a real story that I didn't see until late last night. Brett Phillips, former Royal, is playing at the NBC World Series right now, pumping 97 mile per hour gas. This is a clip that's gone sort of viral overnight in the baseball world. So maybe they just give him a call. Maybe that would be the way to go. But it's just in case you missed that story, as I did. I didn't see that story, but it's out there, which is just awesome. Anywho. All right, we're going to shift gears a little bit. So we're going to keep talking baseball. Tommy's got to step out for just a minute. We've got Mitch Holthus audio coming up from Chiefs camp that I want to get to. He is reporting in. Jad's got some of that for us. So looking forward to that. Talking a little bit about Patrick Mahomes. We get camp yesterday. Sort of some news from camp yesterday. It's hot as hell up in St. Joe, just like it is here. So we have that to get to as well as we wrap up hour number one. We'll get to a giveaway. All kinds of fun stuff coming for you in the next little bit on Sports Daily. We'll get to Bobby Witt Jr.'s heroics last night, too, and look ahead to tonight's game against the White Sox. Don't take anything for granted. This is the thing. When a team has lost that many games in a row, there's a law of averages in play at some point, I think. So, you know, they ought to beat up on the White Sox, but can the White Sox lose every game they play? Maybe. They're pretty bad. And then we'll look at the latest on the trade deadline, see if there's anything out there linked to the Royals. It's all coming for you at Sports Daily. Albrock and Castor, don't go away. We're coming right back.
.975 and 1240 KFH.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. Sports Daily here on KFH. Jacob Albrock with you. Tommy Castor will rejoin us here in just a bit. I'm looking here, our pal Brandon Zinner over from 12 News. By the way, shout out to those of you watching us on 12 News Connected. We got Jalen Daniels back on the practice field. Three games last year. He said at Big 12 Media Days he was fully healthy. Brandon's got video of him out on his Twitter or his X right now, at KWCH Brandon. And you can see Daniels. He looks like he's in great spirits. You know he was ready for this day. Looks good. Looks big. He looks strong. He looks like he's added a little muscle to me. But Brandon Zinner is there. I'm going to see if we can't get him to call in. They're in the middle of practice right now. So we'll try to get him on here in just a second. Jad, do you have Brandon's number? We'll just do this live here.
Yeah, I'll give him a call.
Jad's going to call Brandon real quick because I want to get that Jalen Daniels update. While we do that, Jad, let's for just a second here, you've got some audio from Mitch Holthus this morning. So let's play this Mitch audio and give Jad a chance to call Brandon here. And then we'll try to get you that update on Jalen Daniels. We're kind of on the fly because this is just coming down from Lawrence. So here's Mitch Holthus yesterday. Asked him about Patrick Mahomes in that leadership and culture being created for this season. Here's what Mitch had to say.
I think that's just being a competitor. I think that's the culture that Coach Reed has kind of built here in Kansas City is every single time you're trying to get better when you're on that football field or in the meeting room or wherever that is. And we have a lot of competitors on this team and practices get fiery. I think that's what makes us so special as a football team.
What are you seeing from like guys integrating into the system? Hollywood, looking at Wiley at tight end. Your thoughts on those new guys?
Well, they've had a great camp. I mean, I think they've done a great job of just continuing to push and get better and better and making plays whenever the plays are there. And then whenever there is a mistake, they learn from it and they ask the right questions. And that's what you want in order to have a great team is people that want to continue to get better and better.
Guys, Lamar Jackson of the Ravens took days off OTAs. Aaron Rodgers of the Jets missed mandatory minicamp because he went to Spain. Patrick Mahomes is the alter ego of Andy Reid. If Andy Reid wasn't coaching this team, Patrick Mahomes would be. And he approaches every day like it. It's one of the biggest ingredients of secret sauce of winning these Super Bowl championships that goes beyond the stats.
And I assume with him being that type of personality that just trickles down and emanates the entire roster wanting to measure up to that expectation.
As they would say in the Smith Center Legion Hall, bingo.
Bingo. Love that. That's great. That's good. That's really good stuff. Okay. So we're going to get into that leadership there from Mahomes, from camp. I mean, that doesn't surprise anybody. I'm telling you, it feels like there is motivation there. And I think the motivation is just the way that last year played out in the regular season. I don't think Mahomes wants anything to do with any of that at all. All right, Jad, do we have Brandon now?
Yes, we do. We got him.
So here's Brandon Zinner. Brandon sent me this video. 12 News sports anchor. Brandon, welcome into Sports Daily. Thanks for hopping in on literally no notice at all. You sent me that. And it's my number one question, maybe of the college football season. Jalen Daniels, is he back or is he back? Is he all the way back? How did his back look today, the first time we've been able to see him out on the field?
Yeah, so we were out there. First of all, thanks for having me, Jacob. We were out there for about 20, 30 minutes just watching the team, first day of fall practice, going through the motions. Obviously, we're not going to be out there for when they're doing 7-on-7, 11-on-11, those kind of things, but we were out there for their stretching, running around, just kind of doing their simple drills. And Jalen, he's running around. He's excited. He has a lot of energy. He's dancing to the music. I will caution and say that this is the exact same thing I said last year on day one of fall camp. He looked the exact same coming off the summer back injuries. So he looks healthy. He told me at Big 12 Media Days he is fully healthy. He doesn't expect any limitations. But I guess only time is going to tell with this thing.
Look, it does matter. I think it matters. And even as much, like, it's a back injury. So, you know, 11-on-11 is going to tell us something. But he looks, in the video, I'm watching the video you posted on X, he looks bigger to me. He looks like he's added muscle, which would tell me his back feels pretty good. If he's able to add muscle, I would say, am I seeing that correctly in the video there? It looks like he's added a little weight, and that's probably a good thing for him.
Yeah, no, I thought the exact same thing, because whenever we talk to him at Big 12 Media Days, obviously he's wearing a suit. It's hard to tell kind of how someone's frame is, but he definitely does look like he's put on some good weight, not necessarily bad weight. He looks stronger. He looks healthy. He looks like he has been really getting after it since he posted that video in November saying that he was coming back to Kansas and chasing this season that they all dreamed of him having personally last year. He looks good. But, again, only time is going to tell, and we won't really know until the end of next month or early September when they when they teed up for the first time. We will see if maybe they decide to limit him as these days go along. Maybe he'll get some days off, maybe he'll get some half days off. But we know how it is with injury reporting in college. That can be very, very sketchy and very limited. We'll just kind of see what happens as time goes along.
And that's what I was going to ask you, Brandon. Brandon Zinner up in Lawrence right now with a little time from KU camp opening up today. That was sort of where I was at. You know, we can see him out there. That's one thing. But where have we ever, at any point in this entire process, had any legitimate explanation of what exactly was wrong last year?
That's a good question. I think all they've ever really said about it is he had the back injury, whatever that back injury is,
right.
Is kind of up in the question that it happened last summer camp. At some point, he was limited, if I remember right, a little bit throughout last fall. I think he had that and maybe a shoulder injury as well. I think it was that first game of the season, it flared up in warm-ups. And then I think it was down in Texas, the whole debacle where he was out there, he was warming up, and then literally as the game is kicking off, Jason Bean gets told that he's going to go, he's going to be the starter that day. So I don't know if we've ever got a full explanation. I don't know if we will. It's something that Lance has been asked of, and they've just kind of beat around the bush. Yeah, it's a back. We're monitoring it. But, there's a whole weird situation here.
Yeah, Ken, on one of our video streams, has a question and asks, the worry is, when do you ever see a back problem go away fully? And I think that's a fair question. We've sort of bantied that about a bit here on the show. Like, it's unfair to bake that into the KU expectations because, you know, anybody can get hurt at any point. But I don't think it's unfair. I think looking at Daniels and the likelihood that he misses time, is a very realistic thing to think about with KU this year and their chances. And like, can they win games without him? Certainly did they did last year. But yeah, it's a back. What makes us think that it ever will fully get better?
Yeah, and that's all you have to do is you have to put your faith and trust. If you're a KU fan, if you're Jalen Daniels, if you're Lance Leipold, into the sports medicine staff that they have here at KU, they're going to do everything possible, and they have done everything possible as far as we can tell over the last year to make sure that he's healthy, he is ready to go, and then just going forward, they're going to manage it as best as they can. Whether it's still an issue, they say it's not, but obviously they're going to be monitoring him. They're going to be asking. Probably on the daily, maybe multiple times a day, how are you feeling today? And getting back injuries, they can be tricky because there's just so much that goes into that. Is it back muscle? Is it vertebrae? We don't know even what it is to be able to ask the right questions. But, yeah, just gotta hope that their sports medicine team is taking care of them, and I'm sure they are.
Brandon Zinner, 12 News, reporting from Lawrence right now. You'll see all his reporting tonight on 12 News. Lots of good stuff coming. I mean, that's the thing. KU could be totally honest and say he feels great, because he probably does feel great, but it's back and it could pop up at any point. So then for me, it's less about that. And I don't even like, it's okay to think about that stuff. It's more about, is Cole Ballard ready I would call it the likelihood that he has to play this year. Maybe that's too aggressive for some people, but I would call it a likelihood. Is he ready for that? Because I saw with him last year as a true passer, I think I saw more upside even than Jason Bean. Now, Jason Bean was a baller and all of those things, but I think Ballard, as just a passer, has a chance to be better. Can he be this quickly? I don't know, but they certainly have plenty of weapons around him to help him be better if he has to step in this year.
Yeah, I mean, we saw Cole come in, and Cole honestly competed very valiantly whenever he was called upon last year. He played that entire Sunflower Showdown where KU just narrowly lost to K-State. And then he came in another game that I was at home. I believe it was the BYU game whenever Jason Bean had got injured and Cole played the majority of that. I think that this team, Lance Leipold, he said at Big 12 Media Days, he's never seen a freshman quarterback come into a situation and win over a locker room from the jump, even before he was called upon like Cole Ballard has. And I think that they're confident if Cole Ballard is called upon. And then they also, KU does have a freshman that they really like going forward, Isaiah Marshall, who comes out of Michigan. He's a top 30 quarterback in the country, 3-star guy. They really like his potential going forward. So I think KU feels healthy where they're at, or feels good where they're at, if and probably when Jalen does miss time, just because playing that style of quarterback, it's tough when you're playing the best of the best. They hope he's healthy all year long, but you can't bank on that.
Well, and I think it's okay that they can't, because they showed you last year they can win despite it. And they'll certainly, almost certainly have him more this year than they did last year. The other question, so he and Devin Neal are up for Maxwell. That isn't the same group, same two guys from a year ago. Do you think that Lance Leipold turns Jalen Daniels loose as a runner? And I see Devin Neal, or do you think he's reserved at all with him early in the year? Has Leipold given any indication? Are they going to go with him as, you know, as they would normally do? Or are they going to maybe try to hold a little of that back to keep him healthier longer?
Yeah, that we did poked and prodded at Lance about that, and he kind of just said at Big 12 Media Days, like, yeah, I guess you're just gonna have to wait and see. Obviously, I don't expect them to really do that against Lindenwood that week one game, but as the season goes on, as they start to play the Illinois and everything, I think we're gonna start to see this offense come to life. Luckily, like you asked in your last question, there's so much around Jalen in this offense, and you have the guys in the backfield with Devin Neal, another player of the year candidate, as well as Daniel Hyshaw, who has been excellent when called upon. And then, I mean, they have wide receiver galore with Quentin Skinner and Lawrence Arnold, Luke Grimm, some guys behind that they really like as well. And then the Plainville guy, Jared Casey at tight end, who just has loads and loads of experience. There's guys built around Jalen to help this offense chug along, and whether we see Jalen pull the ball and run 10 times a game, 8 times a game, we're just gonna have to wait and see. But If he's healthy, I don't know why they wouldn't run the ball. If he's not running the ball at all, then I think questions kind of start to come of what are we holding back here?
Yeah, it's the question of camp, and I'll be looking forward to seeing what else you're able to unearth. One final thing here, Brandon, because all the attention's been on Jalen Daniels. How's the defense look? Is this defense going to be any good?
There's a lot of talent on this defense, especially when you look just at the secondary. I mean, Kobe Bryant is a legitimate he's going to be playing on Sundays, and I think so at a pretty high level. He could have came out this past year and probably gone significantly high. I would say probably in those top four rounds. I'm not an expert NFL scout by any means, but just from what I see and kind of reading things, I think Kobe Bryant is that type of talent. Melo Dotson is as well. Those were the two all Big 12 preseason guys,
right,
out of Lawrence. They have a lot of depth that they like on this defensive line. It's going to be led by Jeremy Robinson. They have some guys to replace, Austin Booker, who for now in the NFL, and some other guys. KU has shown, all the talk has been on Jalen these last 2 years, but this defense has just gotten significantly better and better each year. And I think that with those two guys leading the way in the back end, and then a guy like O.J. Burrows and all this depth that they have at secondary and everything around them, KU expects his defense to be one of the best in the Big 12 again this year.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. Maybe not shootouts if they're good in the secondary. All right, Brandon, you're going to unearth some stuff. We'll watch for those reports on 12 News. We'll watch for your reporting as well on X. I know you post a lot of stuff there. So follow Brandon at KWCH Brandon as he is there with KU today. We appreciate it. Have fun out there today. I know you're excited. It's football season. We're all excited. It's football season. And we'll look for your reports later this afternoon.
You can say it again. Thanks, Jacob.
There goes Brandon. Appreciate that. On the fly, joining the program, saw that. I was giving Brandon a hard time yesterday about getting me the answer on Jalen Daniels' back. Like, I need, you know, Dr. Brandon to jump in and give me that. And so he texted me that video of him practicing today, which I just reposted if you haven't seen it. And so it's like, you got to hop on right now and let us know. I mean, it is the number one question, and it is totally fair. And everything rides on it, I think. That's where Cole Ballard steps in, though. Does everything ride on it? Because KU, I think it's reasonable to say they're a better roster top to bottom this year around quarterback, even than they were last year. And so maybe it's less pressure than it was a year ago. I mean, Jalen Daniels has a chance to win a Heisman Trophy. That's how good he is. I just don't know how you count on that for a full season. We've never really seen that from him. And so then it becomes like, okay, I don't think you need to count on what happened last year by any means. I just think it's reasonable to expect Ballard to see, we'll call it, significant time playing this year. So is he ready for that? I think based on what we saw last year, I thought he looked really good. So, you know, would you rather have Jalen Daniels for every snap of every game? Of course you would. He is, again, Heisman good when he's out there. But can Cole Ballard step in a big moment, in a Big 12 game, and help KU to a win? I think he can. But I think that's another thing to watch in camp, is how he has progressed and how he is looking, because they're probably going to need him. They're probably going to need him. And guess what? K-State may need their backup quarterback too, because quarterbacks get hurt, especially quarterbacks that run around, like the two that we will be paying the closest attention to this year.
Well, and so, Jacob, like you brought up, a lot of it is also going to depend on how good that defense winds up being too. How much pressure is going to be put on Daniels or Ballard?
Yeah, I totally agree, Jad. And that's a good point. It's why we asked that question. And what really made me think about that is we just haven't thought of KU that way, even though they've been okay defensively. They certainly made progress. They got two all Big 12 players on that defense. And I do think there is a world where this could look a little different than it has. And if their offense doesn't miss a beat and their defense takes a step forward, again, I have said this a million times, and I'll say it again, and I'll say it every day until we get into the college football season. I legitimately think KU, K-State could be playing for a Big 12 championship. They both have a chance to make the CFP. I'm that bullish on both teams. Their quarterbacks have a lot to do with it. But improvements defensively have a lot to do with it, too. Being in a wide-open league top to bottom has a lot to do with it. This could be a special, special college football season. Best we've ever had. with the admonition of a 12-team playoff. Get ready for it. We appreciate Brandon's reporting there. Again, you'll find his work on 12 News, 12 News Connected, where you can watch this show, but he'll be there on the news. I know I'll have him at 6 when I'm doing the sports there at 12 News today. We'll have his reporting all day long. We're going to take a quick break. We'll come back. Hour number 2 of Sports Daily. We'll get back into what we heard from Mitch Holthus on the Chiefs there. We'll get into Bobby Witt Jr. My goodness, Bobby Witt Jr. And what he did last night and continues to do. We'll look ahead to the Royals as they get ready for tonight's game as well. It's all coming for you. Tommy will rejoin us here shortly as well. I'm Jacob Albrock alongside Jad Chambers. Sports Daily, 1 hour in the books. One more to go on this Tuesday. Don't go away.
In Odyssey Sports Station, this is 97.5 and 1240 KFH, KNSS HD2 Clearwater, Wichita's most listened to sports radio.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, fantasy football owners. Anybody can tell you what a good fantasy quarterback looks like, but it's the receivers that make or break your team. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive in the position that matters most, wide receivers. From the route trees to who plays better in man or zone, we provide the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.